Billy Shreve, who has been there, done that, served 4 years on the county commissioner, 4 years on the council. All right, you have a good perspective here. Commissioner form of government versus charter form.
Commissioner all day.
Yeah.
Why?
I think you, as a commissioner, you actually do control the government. I think as a county council, you're basically powerless. Until the council has the money to get to really waste a lot of money, in my opinion, until they have the power to get a budget officer and their own attorney, they're doing whatever the county executives tells them to do. Because the attorneys are told what to do. The budget people are told what to do. You only get the information the county executive lets you have. So they shouldn't even exist. They should just wipe them out and save that money on salaries.
Let me ask you this. When it was being pushed for a charter government, were you a fourth then?
I was not. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason was because it took the power away from the central committees to appoint replacements and gave it ultimately to the county executive. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was just too much power for the county executive. And, the argument was it would give you more power in Annapolis when, yeah, in fact, it really doesn't at all.
No, absolutely
so
not.
So everything that was kind of sold to put charter in place really doesn't apply.
But you were part of the, you were branded, which is not a make it bad, but you were brought in with Blaine.
Young.
You were on the Blaine Young board, we said.
Yep.
And you had, it was you and Kirby Smith. So you all were sort of branded together. And I, as I remember, Blaine was really for charter. I
mean, yeah, he was. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I just, so you have that special perspective because you've been on both.
Yeah. The last and the first.
Yeah. Do you think it'll ever
change back? I think it would be great if it did.
Yeah.
I think the way the charter is written, and again, the way the money's controlled by the county executive, that the citizens are not getting the government they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
But to get there, you're going to have to spend a lot of money, because what ends up happening in Prince George's and Montgomery County is they have their own buildings.
Right.
They have their own 300 employees.
Right.
And, it becomes equal government.
Right.
But until that happens, you
Which
really don't
Which is never
going
to happen in Frederick County.
No.
No.
No, probably not. Probably not.
And what he's saying, Frank, is, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you need the entire package for the legislative branch, not just a title and a seat at the diocese.
Yeah.
And until we have that, you're just, I don't want to say bobbleheads, because you're not, but your influence is very minimal.
It's almost zero.
Yeah.
It's almost zero.
And if you all disagree and you can't form that coalition.
Yeah.
And really
the council's in its infancy, or it was, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted like other boards, like the Board of Appeals, the Planning Commission. They'll hear from the county staff.
Right.
They'll hear from the applicant. They'll let the public speak and hear the opposition.
Right.
The council voted not to do that. So they have all these separate meetings versus hearing from everyone at once. So their policy is that they don't hear from
all the parties. This would be going backwards. And Texter just said that you were a supporter of charter government, at least vocally about it. And so
I voted against it.
You did vote against it?
Yeah, I believe I voted against it when it's time to take the vote.
Okay, but you, because I'm just correcting the Texter or getting your side of it. All right, you've seen the 4 years you served in there. You were called all kinds of nice names.
People love me.
They do. They do. Yeah.
Let me ask you outside of the workings of government. I want to ask you about the issues that affect the everyday person.
Uh-huh.
And first, I'd like to go past, present, future.
Sure.
The past 8 years, your 4 years as commissioner, four on the council, what is either at the top of your mind or what you think was the number one disappointment, and what was the number one achievement in your time in government?
8 years.
8 years. I'd say the last 4 years was the biggest disappointment, being under, a charter government in the council with zero power. That was a waste of my 4 years.
But I'm saying as far as the issues go, that either you were involved with or that
you had to
vote on.
Well, we didn't vote on any issues. I mean, we did not. We're the only county in Maryland that has rules against solar energy commercial solar farms. We're the only county in Maryland has rules against marijuana growing facilities. And this is all Democratic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The largest lobbying firms in Maryland run by Democrats came up and lobbied against our Democrat bills.
Hmm.
So the last 4 years are a total waste of time.
Any success at all in the last 4 years?
None. The county executive basically did whatever she wanted. And the council accomplished nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
How about, then let's go back to the commissioner days. What was your biggest achievement? What are you proudest
of? Well, you have to remember when we took office, we had a $40 million deficit and we had 6 months to fix it. So we looked at everything out there. We really did right-size government. You know, we lost 25% of the workforce. We didn't know when the tax revenue was going to stabilize. So I think, you know, we never did really a tax cut, but we did a tax rebate. That was huge because we didn't know what was going to happen with everything. And I think just allowing stability in government and having the employees really feel like they were the part of the decision-making process when we were commissioners, I think that was a huge win. So we had Frederick County going in a good direction, and they were truly working for the citizens. So now if you have a large event in a county park and you have over 200 people, you have to come up with a recycling policy. So
recycling policy for what?
To what you're going to do
for the
trash. Yeah, for the event.
Well, it's another business what I'm going to do with that trash.
Yeah. So that's where we've gone. We've gone for you can come in and get a deck permit, you know, in hours.
Yeah.
To if you're having an event with over 200 people, you have to write a recycling policy. You know, it's just obscene.
Insane. Too much government interference.
Way too much. Way too much.
Okay.
And there's too much politics in Winchester Hall.
No.
You know, ultimately the decisions are those of the county executive. The employees can't do their jobs, and they're fearful of their decisions.
Well, they're merit system employees, so they can't really be fired, can they? Or are the ones you talk about higher ups who serve at their pleasure?
Well, all of them. You know, I think they're all afraid to make decisions. And when you go in there as a citizen, they don't really, you know, their first goal is not to try to help you. It's to not get in trouble.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Jefferson Technology Parkway that I'm hearing an awful lot about because apparently I always thought it was a brilliant plan. And now I'm hearing it's the worst thing, you know, that we've ever done in Frederick County. So we also encourage your phone calls at 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. So, Billy, Jefferson Tech Park.
You have a question for me?
Yeah.
I heard the county exec was on with us during the primaries or during the election season. And she was, with a little question, she was, you know, upset about what had been proposed, accomplished, and not accomplished. This was a TIF, was it not?
Meaning
that tax money would
increment financing.
Will stay in that particular area. Tell me about it. First of all, tell people what you envision and what is there.
Yeah, what we envision is what's happening there. So they came in and, the owners of the Jefferson Tech Park.
Okay.
And they proposed a mixed-use site. So there's affordable housing there. There's apartments.
Mm-hmm.
There are single families and townhomes. There's a large retail area and also a commercial area.
Okay.
So there have been companies that wanted to locate there that produce some of the highest technology in the world.
Okay.
And all they've done is get, you know, a stone wall from the county government.
Why? That's the idea of the park, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Jan doesn't like it. So if Jan doesn't like it, you know, you don't get a seat at the table, you don't get a fair shake, and Frederick County loses. So that's where we are. It's politics.
I'm assuming, which one should never do, I know, that this is something, that, as far as the tax set off and things such as this, that you feel that you've done to protect them and to protect the progress of this growth. And yet you're being criticized, the group, you know, not you personally, but the group's been criticized for basically selling out to the developers.
Well, that's not true. I mean, the developer's writing checks for millions of dollars a year to the county for taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real money. If they waste it, that's their problem, but they could put it to good use. They could also make the process easier and more encouraging for businesses and industries that want to actually locate there, but they're not doing it.
Okay. Bill, what else you do? Anything else?
I'm starting a small computer company.
I don't hear about that. I can't handle that. All right. It's Billy Shreve is here at 301-694-9363. Take us some phone calls, Frank. Who do we have?
Paul? It would be Paul from Boonesboro.
Talk to me, Paul.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Paul.
Hope you're enjoying this beautiful snowy day.
It's a beautiful day.
On the Jefferson thing, as I understand it, Billy, there was supposed to be a data center that was supposed to go in there, and yet it hasn't. Jan wants to act like she's the biggest, you know, pro-business, but immediately right after she took office, she killed that. She killed some development in Urbana, and
yeah.
She killed also a lot of businesses that were operating previously that should have been grandfathered, like wedding venues, specifically in Thurmont, the one I'm talking about, is the Mathwick Estate. So it's like, you know, I don't understand it. I mean, she wants to act like she's pro-business, but yet you see large projects like that, a data center in particular. Let's look at Loudoun County.
Yeah.
Loudoun County, 5 years, increased their tax revenue by $82 billion by approving all those data centers over in Ashburn.
Yeah.
$82 billion. One county, Loudoun County, Virginia, $82 billion over 5 years.
Yeah, we're just getting our butts kicked and they're 15 minutes away.
Yeah, exactly.
They're over here four times a year.
Yeah. No difference. I mean, you know, you're just across the river there. And I mean, you know, in terms of speed of light, no difference.
Yeah.
So.
Well said, Paul. Thank you for following this and finding out what's going on.
Yeah.
County. Good, Bill.
I think you understand the situation perfectly. Your description was very accurate. So you're not confused.
Yeah.
You're seeing the light.
We go from Paul in Boonesboro to Shook. Shook, good afternoon. You're with Frank, Tim, and Billy Shreve.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, Billy, we're going to miss you and Kirby. I got to say that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
that. Are you talking about the theatrics? Are you talking about the the humor? Or I'm being serious.
I'm talking about having logical, common sense people on the council.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, hey, Billy, I got a question for you.
Sure.
With your position with the Republican Party in Frederick County, what are you guys doing to prevent things like Kai Hagan, repeat Kai Hagan getting on the council?
You know, the Central Committee's been really starting to meet since December, and, you know, we don't have any long-term plans at this point. They're just starting to, you know, have meetings and starting to function. So, you know, we're aware of that situation, and, you know, we're going to do everything we can to prevent it, but we're not there yet.
Well, I'll tell you, Frank was asking about high points and low points in the last 8 years. And I'll have to say a couple of the high points were when Blaine was on the radio and he first got on the council and he brought the radio microphones into the council meeting and Jan and Ty blew their lids on that one. You all remember that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Barely.
What did he do? I mean, he brought the broadcast live.
This was when he was nominated for council. The anniversary was a couple days ago, so it was like.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, late January, he was appointed to replace Rick Weldon.
Right.
Charles
Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was on there like you know for 8 months or something
right.
before the election, and he brought microphones from the basically brought the radio station to the county commissioner meetings. So it was, you know, people weren't happy about that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, let's get back because this is real relevant because yesterday, speaking of Jan Gardner, the county executive, yesterday
yes.
talked about these DRRAs, Development Rights and Responsibility Agreements. Her mm-hmm. point, what do you say to her point that right now the DRRA is limiting local officials? Developer contracts, making it very difficult for current county officials in the near future to manage growth that's already been approved.
Well, yeah, a DRRA is a contract between the county and the developer. So they still have to go through the approval process. What it does is it lays out the next 20 years for that development.
Why so long?
Well, because a lot of times, you know, if you're dealing with recessions or anything like that, delays in your approvals, it takes that long to build them. I mean, look at things like Spring Ridge. Look at Urbana. Urbana started in 99. So, you know, that's why. It also, what it does for the developer and the bank, which is the big part, is it gives them certainty and assurity. It lets them know when they build 400 units, they're going to build a water tower, things like that. You know, they're going to put in these roads, donate a school site, whatever, at these milestones. So it's a really good thing to have.
But what do you say, just to
what do you say
make her point, she would say that things might be entirely different after 10, 20 years, that you might need something entirely different.
Well, you have to know what you're going to need going in based on that project. If I'm building 1,000 homes, I know how many people are going to be there based on historic data, how many people are going to be on the roads at what time of the day, all those things. So it doesn't change. You know, technology hasn't changed. You go anywhere in the world, people talk about water, sewer, schools, and roads.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing
right.
throughout history. Right? It doesn't change. Explain She's looking for the boogeyman. It's not there.
I think one thing that you hit on that most people that aren't in the business recognize, when you do it, the financing, the banking, talk about that a little bit more, because that tells the bank and tells the builder or the developer, you know, that you're hand in hand in this, but it all has to work together. And if you don't have this, don't look for the bank to, you know, be there.
Right. Don't look for the bank to be there. And if they are there, maybe your interest rate's higher.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't get as much money because the certainty's not there.
Exactly.
What Jan wants is she wants total control. And she's not happy about these DRRAs because she hasn't found a way to unwind them
yet. Can they be changed?
They cannot. That's why Jan hasn't done it yet.
Right.
She's had 4 years to unwind them and hasn't found a way to do it. And that's why she's upset and she's getting back on that soapbox.
And
she put this bill out during your council time, right? It didn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
So now she's hoping, I guess, that she'll have more in her favor.
Yeah, and what happens is the insurance company comes in, right? And they say, look, this is what we're going to insure you for, Frederick County. Mm-hmm. If you do X, Y, and Z, if you create a lawsuit, we are not going to insure you. If you get a $200 million lawsuit slapped against you, we are not going to insure you. You're going to have to pay for that. And that's where Jan's at. And the insurance company's been in there a bunch of times, and she's putting the taxpayer at risk.
I got so many questions. I want to hold you over a little bit, Frank. I want to talk about a very profitable nursing home and how it's working for the county and how inexpensive it is. We'll talk about that when we come back. I also want to know about some of the players, if you don't mind. I should have given you the – well, you always have the right. If you don't want to get into that, just say, you know, I'd rather not talk about that. Then I'll really drive you nuts. But we're talking about former county commissioner, former county council member Billy Shreve will be in this. Russ, what say you, Russ?
Hey, Billy, I'm glad to hear from you again.
Hey, Russ, how you doing?
I wanted to tell you, Billy, you and Kirby and Tony, you had a tough one your 4 years, but I think now it'll be a rubber stamp deal. You got 6 Democrats in there, to my opinion, and I think it could even get worse. So
yeah. We
really appreciate a bunch of us getting together the other day and talked about it, and they don't even listen to it on the television anymore because they know what the outcomes are going to be.
Yeah. That's true. Thank you.
You think you've taken the spine out of the council? Or do you think the spine is gone from the council?
They don't have enough people to do anything at this point, and they don't have any loud voices. Mm-hmm. So
what happened in the last election?
Yeah.
You know, what happened in the last election? I think it all starts with candidates, and it all starts with timing. So, you know, Kirby and I believe in term limits, so we didn't want to run for council again. And we decided to run for other offices because we still thought we had some value, you know, serving the citizens. And neither one of us were successful. So you had a bunch of people that never really gelled, you know, and never really resonated with the voters, and they didn't get elected.
Well, you know, there's a lot of fascinating stories. You had Kirby, who could have handily walked back into his council seat.
Absolutely.
More than likely, you would have gone back in.
Sure.
And then you have someone like Bud Otis, who I don't know what he was expecting, but he ran so poorly. It was unbelievable.
Well, he really thought that the Democrats would embrace him
yes.
after the 4 years and they would support him.
Used him and abused him.
Well, he wanted to run for county executive. So he asked the Democrats to support him for county executive, and they said, hey, you know, Jan's a Democrat, and we support her, right? So then, you know, he kind of got pushed around.
He thought that he was going to run against Jan?
Yeah.
Or that Jan would step down after the first term?
Or, I don't know what he was thinking. You know.
Well, let me ask you about a couple other theories.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Is Frederick County changing? Is it becoming more purple? Is it becoming more of an influx of Montgomery County and other urban areas making
Absolutely.
It more purple?
It's not even purple. It's a kind of a blue wave, you know. And, you know, registrations 4 years ago, they're about 5,000 difference. So we're pretty much even.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about a 2,000 voter difference. So it's becoming much more liberal. And what you have is, you know, Republicans like to do their work and go home and not be bothered.
Right.
And Democrats, you know, never miss a protest that they can be involved in. And Trump gives you plenty of reasons to protest. So
sure.
the Democrats are fired up, and they did a better job, and they got more people elected. So, you know.
I see it as not a wave or a ripple one way or the other. I think the parity that we have will change, because I think that the Republicans are going to have to come to some type of an understanding. It's hard to tell a Democrat from a Republican, to be honest with you. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous because of the differences, but diametrically oppose each other. But if you take the crazy left, the crazy right, you just got a bunch of crazies.
Yeah, you get rid of them, and most people agree on most things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in this county, which again is partisan issues, still are very slow here. I think what we have in local elections, you have personalities. You're voting for a personality.
Sure.
I think Jan was voted for because of her personality. Not that she was going to stop this or stop that. That's what I hear from people.
Yeah.
And when you hear Trump, I don't know how Trump got elected, but people like his personality, believe it or not. And, you know, Barry, go ahead, Jim.
Well, the Republicans were very vocal in the presidential election.
Yes.
And Trump inspired them to vote. They were not inspired by the group of Republicans that ran for election this last election.
No.
And those Trump Republicans did not turn out, or at least not all of them.
Do you think it's now Frank seems to think, and I don't want to think, that the influx of progressives from Montgomery County who are coming here, one, I assume for a better tax rate, two, because they like our school system, three, because it's a safer county, and then when they get here, they wanted to, you know, you'll hear people say, well, they want to turn it into Montgomery County.
Sure.
The actual county they ran from,
right,
escaped is a nice word, and then they try to, we start all over again, and to, at what point do they realize that things were working here?
And if that's a fact, how do you counter that as a Republican?
If you want to counter, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, Republicans get elected when the economy's bad. When they need smart people to run the government, we get elected. When everything's good and, you know, like the American economy is doing great right now.
Sure.
So you just have all the protesters and, you know, the Republicans are out there doing their job, you know, mm-hmm. taking care of their families, and they're not as involved in local politics. So, the Democrats are organizing their people and they're getting the job done. But it's a matter of time before that swings.
Well, and one of the, of course, if you've been in Frederick County for any length of time, you'll know that that the pendulum goes back and forth.
Sure.
All Republicans, all Democrats, back and forth. And if you're old enough like me, you remember when this county was all blue. And if you had a very few, if any, Republicans elected. And then, of course, it wasn't but about 8 years ago or 12 years ago, and it was all red. So we're going to take a very short break, Billy, if you don't mind. We're going to take to southbound.
I want to ask Billy.
Go ahead.
Because the last thing that he did was try to run for state government.
Yes.
I got a couple questions. How's Governor Hogan doing? Now, here's a governor. Here's a governor that has not been in line with the Trump Republicans. Are you okay with that?
Or the conservatives?
Well, I think that's why Republicans don't like him. You know, if you look at Hogan and you look at his support, mm-hmm. 4 years ago, he had every grassroots Republican out there doing stuff for him.
Yes, sir.
You drive around the county now, there are still Hogan signs that haven't been taken down. So who's working for him?
Exactly.
That's the question. You know, at his inauguration, he further, you know, twisted the knife when he came out with his purple surfboard and his purple backdrop. He did get elected twice. You know, my hat's off to him for that.
Sure.
And look forward to see what he's going to do in these 4 years. But
you could add Ben Jealous.
He lost the base a long time ago.
Have who?
He could add Ben Jealous.
Yeah, right.
What's the difference?
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. We'll talk about that. Yep. Let's grab a hold of the next part of this, Billy.
I want to ask about the General Assembly. What
General,
you know,
who?
I'm sure you had issues that you were running on. You know, the Democratic majority is talking about gun safety and minimum wage and health care.
And
what would you like to see these folks accomplish in
assisted
the next
suicide? Don't forget that, Frank.
During this session.
Well, you know what they say is if you don't have any tax increases in Annapolis in the 4 months they're there, you've done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing they could work on is, you know, health care.
Sure.
And if they could just open up the border with another state.
Exactly.
They would
save
a lot of
money. As well as prescription. That's part of health care. That's what really people would be appreciative of. I'm not appreciative when they attack things that it's not going to make a difference in the real life. And that's, you know, every gun bill, you think that just less people are going to be damaged or hurt. That doesn't do a thing. You're missing the whole idea. Let's take some Joe. Joe, what say you?
Hey, Billy and Frank and Tim. Joe here. Hey,
good afternoon, brother.
Hey, Joe.
Just checking in on Billy. What's your opinion on how the deer herd's doing up here this year?
Well, you know,
how it's made out through the gun season and,
what's that,
you know,
got to do with Annapolis?
Well, it has. This is what it has to do with Annapolis.
Okay.
The one of the best programs in the state is not really talked about, and it's the Hunters Feeding the Hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be about 250 to 300 deers could be donated per year to the food banks.
Right.
Well, a couple years ago, DNR decided they didn't want to do that anymore. Now they only give them 100 processing fees.
What about the? Go ahead.
Well, this year there were 265 deers donated, so that means the processor has to eat that difference.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to keep the processors around because there are really only two in Frederick County that do the donation program.
Wow.
And the Farm Bureau was going to sue the state for not controlling the wildlife prior to them opening up the donation program. Well, now they've cut it back. So that's one of the things they could do that really help a lot of people.
Explain to me, why would they cut the donation back? I mean, the amount you could do, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't compute.
It doesn't make any sense at all. But my
so
hope,
that's why we did it. Okay.
It doesn't make any sense at all, and the herd just gets more and more out of control.
Yes, exactly.
Now I worked with Jeannie Hadaway when she was a delegate, and now she has been appointed to be the head of the Department of Natural Resources. So my hope is that, you know, her husband is a guide down on the Eastern Shore.
Right.
She's grown up in that arena. So she really understands problems we have with wildlife and, you know, how to fix them. And I'm hopeful that she can make it happen.
Apparently she went to Midman Hezzy's and days gone by.
All right. Let's say you're still running for state Senate.
Sure.
Transportation. What do you want to see happen?
You know, more than talking. Right. The biggest problem in Frederick is Route 15. Everyone sees it every day. We just had a phone call about it.
Yes.
2 years ago or 2 years ago, all the state delegation met with State Highway. And, you know, Jan was beating the table about we need to fix Route 15.
Right.
And the reality of it is neither the state nor the county government or the city has put a dime toward fixing Route 15. When we were commissioners, one of the things we were effective at doing is saying, okay, we don't have $10 million, but we have $1 million. State Highway, what can we do to fix these problems? Mm-hmm. And we fixed problems on Route 85 and 270 at TJ Drive and 15.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. They were successful getting the bridge over Route 15 on Monocacy Boulevard. So all these small breakout projects, if you work with State Highway, if you put some money towards them, you can get roads built. But no one understands that. They think we don't put any money in, we just complain about it, things will happen, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right, because you're going to put those sound barriers up on 15. I know. I heard that. That'd be in the next lifetime.
Before Billy goes, I know he wants to. He's been involved in something for several years now and still is.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the Classmates for Life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Classmates for Life. So we're planning to kick that off, I think, February 14th. And I'll be back on the radio when we do. And it's a video contest, 30 seconds about why drugs are bad or how drugs have wrecked your world. And this year we're adding a poster contest. We started Classmates for Life, the first thing we did was had a poster contest, and we had like 100 kids enter. Mm-hmm. Then we did a video contest, had about 100 kids enter. So we're thinking if we could get, 100 plus to enter the two contests, the word would get out more. Our YouTube channel, Classmates for Life, has over 75,000 views, all these videos from kids about why drugs are bad. It's just great if you're a parent, you're having problems, you want to talk to your kids, just go.
Did it win something under the one of the film festivals, or what was that title that we won?
Yeah, I won, actually, it was the Mendez Award.
Right.
Mr. Mendez just passed away. Yeah. And I won the top award at the Maryland International Film Festival for creating Classmates for Life for my contribution to the film industry.
And Frederick County Public Schools all in on this, so it's not a partisan thing.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Public schools support it, health department, sheriff's department, PTA. It's just a great collaborative effort, and it really is a good program, and it makes a difference.
Sounds good. We're going to take a short break coming up here at 5:30.